So were there any other business pursuits that you pursued after you sold the business, or did you retire at that point?
You continued
teaching tennis, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was in the bar business out in Colorado, and yeah, I got into excavation and building and in between, but I was doing that stuff and doing other stuff at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know how you had much time for anything while you were running.
Energy level was, it's unbelievable. Yeah, when I was working construction, I wouldn't carry a tube before 20 feet, I'd run.
Now, did you have your own construction team?
Yeah, it was all for myself.
Yeah.
Yep. I worked for a couple people for years, and out in Colorado, I worked for a guy that did a lot of excavating and stuff.
So there are a few, just a few people I wanted to ask you about.
Certainly.
You had memories. Bob Cochran, he's a ski patrol.
Bob Cochran, he's the one that took me from the Toll House up to the mountain. Toll House to the T-Bar trails. And I skied at the T-Bar trails, and I never skied on the single chair. And then one day he came and said, come on, you're going to come up here, and we're going to ski the nosedive. Oh, I says, oh, my God, I can't ski the nosedive. That's a racing trail. And he says, oh, but you have to understand, I'm six now or seven. And so we went down the nosedive. But prior to that, we skied the lift line. He and I skied the lift line a few times. And I'd go up there every day, and that's all I would ski is that lift line. And then one day he said, come on, we're going down the nosedive. Oh, I said, I can't go down there. That's too steep. That's a racing trail. Oh, my God. After skiing the lift line, it was like dreamland.
Yeah.
It was easy.
Yeah.
So Bob was very influential that way. He was a scoutmaster. And
were you in the scouts?
I was in the scouts, yep. I was.
All the way through?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I got up to, I didn't quite make the Eagle Scout. I got right to the last merit badge or two, and just got involved too much in skiing or something, whatever it was, and I never finished it. I always said I should go back and finish it now.
Yeah. The scouts were really a big thing then.
Very. It's a great organization. It's good for kids too.
And where were you meeting when you were a scout? Where was the meeting place?
Well, he had a barn out behind his house, and we'd have the meetings there, and you'd get 8-10 kids, scouts, and they'd go on a hike or we'd go to camp out in the wintertime. Boy. And it was good. You had to figure out what kind of food you were gonna bring, and you were all self-sustained, you had to make sure you had everything in order. And he was pretty good that way, make sure that we were all organized.
And did he go with you then?
Oh, there was other guys too that helped. Yeah, he usually would go along. Yep.
So were the parents involved in the scouting, or was it
not much? No. They'd just help you get organized.
Yeah.
Sleeping bag and rucksack and the food and the can of beans and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Make sure you had this stuff, which you'd have a list for in a way. But it was very well organized, the scouting business.
That's neat. Now, so how about Addie Jorg at the tennis club?
Addie Jorg, yeah.
What do you remember?
Well, Addie was a he was a. He came to work. He's from the old country, and he came over here and worked for Sepp for years and years and years. And he and Sepp got along, but some of the morons that worked Forcep, the management up there. There were some awful people. And he didn't get along with them. He's a hard working, just the German mentality. You know, it had to be right, and it is going to be right, or it wasn't going to be done, you know. So he didn't get along with a couple of them, and so he just left the company. But he was a very good tennis player. He was an instructor, and I picked up a lot from him, and I used to play tennis with him every day of the week. And he'd beat the hell out of me for a while. And then one day I beat him. And I don't think he might beat me one game or two and back and forth, but I was getting ahead all the time. But he taught me a lot in tennis, and we worked together, and he knew a lot about tennis courts, and we're very, very good friends, him and his wife and his family. And I mean, he was a tough old German. Jesus, he was tough. But he'd feed a chipmunk with seeds out of his hand. The chipmunk come sit in his hand. That's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
Fabulous, fabulous guy. Rock climber, the finest rock climber in the world. Noted in Europe as the finest rock climber in the world. Pretty good distinction.
Yeah. Did you ever go climbing with him?
No, sir. I didn't dare to go climbing. I didn't like those rocks. Mm. I don't like ropes, and I don't like having to hang on somebody the end of somebody else's string. No, I didn't like climbing. That's one thing I never got involved in. Probably was a good thing because, you know, that's another life. You know, you get involved in climbing, and the next thing you're off to Nepal or Everest or somewhere, and then sure enough, I'd perish.
So any other like key figures in town or people who come to mind when you think?
Well, Sonny Davis, I skied with him a lot. He was in the ski patrol, but he was a tough skier. He could handle the worst crud up there. I skied with him, and he was on the ski patrol, and I hung out with the guys on the ski patrol all the time because they were the strong ones. The ski instructors, most of them, except for a few of the Austrians, they didn't know how to ski. But there's certain ones, instructors I did know and skied with a lot. But as far as my helping in my career was skiing was, you know, people like Bob Cochran and some of the guys on the ski patrol, Charlie Lord, and a few people like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting group, though, back then. Nice people, yeah.
Did they kind of stay amongst themselves, or did they intermingle much with the... I mean, there was a distinction between the townspeople and the mountain people?
Well, they were working for the mountain company, and Sepp was, they respected Sepp immensely. Everybody did. And he just had a rough go once AIG got involved. It was, I'm sure that if he was still up there, that it would be a bigger and better ski area than it is.
What made him a good manager of the ski area?
Well, he had that, you know, that German attitude, you know. It has to be right, and it's got to be done the right way. But he had a bunch of cruddy people around him. I hate to keep coming back to that, but Sepp was he brought those Austrians and that camaraderie over here. They were unbelievable up there. They were singing and dancing, and they'd take people out to dinner. And, well, the people would take them to dinner, And they were living the ski world. They just brought everything together. I mean, it was back in those days when they were rolling, it was unbelievable up there. I mean, I don't know how anybody could screw up something that good. You got to really try hard. But then, you know, things happened, and Sepp sort of just fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. So were you involved in town affairs over the years? I mean, you had so much going on outside, just in your work life.
I'm like Sonny Davis. I just growl and snarl at the 50-cent millionaires that come into Stowe and want to put in all these extravagant things that for their kids at the moment, and then they leave. You know, I never got involved too much in the politics of Stowe.
Do you see that having changed since you were a young boy then? I mean, what do you see in terms of the changes in the town?
Well, I see a lot of people that don't really... It isn't that they don't fit in, because people fit everywhere. It's just they bring the wrong ideas here for their own self-preservation, and then they once they instill them, and then they leave. And the tax burden, per se, one of the annoying things of Stowe, is left to us that have been here for years and years, and we've developed the area, you know. Like, we developed when the Moriarty hat was going. It wasn't something that we did purposely. It just happened. The post office went from a class... I don't know, 1 to a class 3 because of our mailings. So they had to upgrade that. You know, there's a lot of people come in and you know, they build all this extravagant stuff that we... economy isn't very good now. They're still doing it. I mean, we were putting in a $6 million skating rink. I mean, why? I say to these people that are doing it, I said, you 50-cent millionaires are so assured that this thing is going to make Stowe money, why don't you invest your money into it and put it somewhere on the mountain road? And if it's going to do that well, then you should make the money. Don't burden me, the taxpayer. And they don't look at things. I mean... it's like everything, this Goal Town business. I mean, they tried it in Maine and it didn't work. And they came down here, those people, and spoke about it to the state and the town. And they still went ahead and did it. And it's the same with the Mayo farm and not building over there. Well, they tore down all the buildings. They could have put all that wonderful facility that we have, that... public service building over there. I mean, they put it in the worst place in Stowe. What's the matter with those people? Their brains gone? If they'd have put it over there, the access roads to getting around Stowe would have been so much easier for everybody. I mean, and they build a building, and the accountability for building it, they don't... the building, the clapboards rotted off the building last year. So they had to redo the back of the building. Nobody knows about that. And they don't know about the mold inside the building. There's not the accountability that it used to be. We used to, back years, and well, when I was a kid, we had one person that was the overseer of the poor. And he would make the determination out of the town budget that so-and-so got... so much or whatever they gave to people. And I saw it change after a few years. A guy was a town road commissioner. I mean, the road commissioner to me in Stowe is the matriarch of the community. He's the one that, without him, nothing happens right. He takes care of the bridges, he takes care of the culverts, he takes care of the roads. He's the most important man in Stowe. And that's what I used to tell the road commissioner. You don't realize that you're more important than all those public affairs, those bureaucrats up there in office now. I says, because without you, nothing would function. And I remember they had a road commissioner, he'd been in there for, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And they went to a town meeting and they wanted to give him a pension or something about a pension. And the bureaucratic bull didn't allow him to give him this pension. He had a guy who'd put his whole life into the town. And that's when I saw the town change. That was 40 years ago, which was sad. And as you see, generally speaking, nothing changes dramatically. Buildings are the same. There's not a lot of new buildings. A few go up every year. Nothing changes dramatically in any area. The mountain company up there, the ski area, hasn't done anything. It's very mediocre, as far as I'm concerned.
Were you for or against the development up there?
Oh, absolutely for the development. I used to tell them, why do you do this? Why do you run this lift up here a little further? And then you could have utilized this area when it comes up for bid or auction, you can take this area. Like that Ranch Valley, when that came up, I could not believe the mountain company, AIG, or whoever those idiots are that are involved, did not buy that Ranch Valley.
Who owned that land?
It was owned by Burt, and I think in that area, and they wanted to get rid of it, and they went dirt cheap. The mountain company, Jesus, they should have bought that. Now, I don't know where the lines run as far as the Forest Service, mm-hmm. but that's only working it out with the state, to be able to infringe in the state park area or whatever the state owns. And that would have expanded that mountain side over there. It would have doubled the size of it.
So that ski trail development, what about the actual the hotel and do you have any opinion on that?
Oh, man. That's been the most pitiful excuse up there for, well, the new development of the hotel is fabulous. It's 40 years too late. That's my opinion. They should have developed that they didn't, because they were so busy trying to reap the harvest, and they had that old log cabin over there at the mountain that they used. What a pitiful place that used to be, still is. They didn't want to put any money into that, developing that area over there, which is understandable, but at least do something 40 years ago, I'm talking about. And now all of a sudden they've done this extravagant thing there, which is beautiful. Well, there's nobody here. It's kind of crazy. You kind of lost touch with, didn't you? I'm for the development. And if you live in an area like Stowe, you can't be not for development. Anybody that wants to do something, if it looks like it's going to work, by all means, do it. But not at the expense of the taxpayer. But that's the way we're rolling nowadays. That silly building we built there for the fire department. The problems in that building are astronomical. I mean, they built a building and the engineering wasn't such that they found out afterwards that the snow load wasn't right, so they had to put piers in. And then that took away a considerable amount of space for the trucks. I mean, who's accountable for this stuff? I mean, you spend all this money for all these surveys and studies, and then they don't do it. I mean, doesn't get done right. I said to the road commissioner one day, I said, Charlie, what the hell's going on with this road across the mail field? He says, well, what do you mean? I ran into Charlie, so we were very good friends. And we knew, I'm in the business, he's in the business, different way. I said, well, why is the town going out and getting independent contract to survey to build this road? I says, doesn't every contractor have their own engineering staff in there that could give you the information and you could determine if this is right? And he says, well, yeah. And I says, well, what the hell's wrong with you? Can't you build the road? Well, he says, yeah, I can build that road. That's not a problem. I mean, when you start thinking like this, you say, wait a minute, they spent all this money having somebody figure out that the road can go there. Every contractor in town, like Percy and Salvis, they have their own engineering office. Well, what's wrong with them giving the town the engineering surveys or plans, and the town makes a decision? The road commissioner, that's his job. But they do it backwards. It's crazy. That's the problems I see in town, is the bureaucratic bullshit. Yeah. Literally put. As a matter of fact, I wrote the town planner. I wrote him a letter, asked for a curb cut on the mountain road that had already been there some 35, 40 years ago, and I said, I want to have this here for handicap access. Guess what? He denied it under some bureaucratic paperwork that he had. I just threw my hands up. Thank God I sold the building, because he would be in trouble. I would go after him like a witch hunt with the American Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. This guy's an absolute moron. He uses his bureaucratic bull to keep a job. I mean, something that simple. Used to be the selectmen. You'd go before the selectmen. You ask them for this. They say, yeah, that sounds right. You got it. I had trouble right down here in this road. I finally said, that's enough. Almost got taken out 3 or 4 times. I went in and I said to the bureaucrat, I said, I want something done on this road. He says, well, I can't do anything about it. I can't change the speed limit. I says, well, I can. I was in my, I'm not very diplomatic, and my wife always says, you know, you just don't handle people well. I says, I know, because I know what needs to be done, and they want to bowl me. I said, so I went out, and I got a petition. I got everybody on this road all the way up to the end signed this petition to lower the speed limit to 25 miles an hour. The bureaucrat comes in with paperwork that is now part of the legal entity of doing anything. This is bureaucratic bull, and they have to hire an independent state-affiliated company to come in and survey the roads. Boy, you talk about driving me crazy. Of course, I didn't understand this because I'm not in the bureaucratic business. And I go to the selectmen's meeting and I said, well, what's going on here? You've lowered the speed limit here, but not up this hill. I says, what kind of craziness is this?